Both of our readings this morning come from the second chapter of the book of Acts. I will be reading verses 1 through 13. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, they are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portions in all the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord, great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Again, happy Pentecost, church. This is the holiday that celebrates the Spirit becoming the continuing presence of God in our world. This is the day that the early church leaders received the Holy Spirit and were able to interpret Scripture and speak in all languages that they needed to spread the message of God's love. Many think of Pentecost as the church's birthday, but I tend to think of it a little differently. The way I see it, when someone is born, they are not particularly useful. Cute, yes, but babies are very limited in their abilities. When we are born, we depend on others to care for us for many years still. The women and men who received the Spirit on Pentecost were not dependents. They were gifted with remarkably helpful abilities to proclaim the message of God's love. They no longer depended on the guidance of others. They were able to understand Scripture and interpret it for the masses. They quickly went off on their own to pursue careers in ministry. This was not a birthday. It was a graduation day. Graduations are the tipping point from learning to doing. Before graduations, we are students, gaining knowledge, gathering experience, and sharpening our abilities. We need teachers to guide us through this time and check our work. After some time, though, the teachers recognize that we have collected enough knowledge and experience and sharpened our gifts enough to allow us to go out on our own. We are given a degree that signifies that we have achieved a level of expertise that makes our words and ideas worth listening to. We can see problems on our own and brainstorm solutions that are helpful and worthy of respect. This is what happened to Jesus' followers. They graduated from being students of Jesus to leading the people of God. Their degree shows up as flames over their heads, which would be very cool if that still happened to us today, but it can be a little bit harder for us to know when the Spirit enters our lives. But even though we have never had a flame dance above our heads, the scripture assures us that we have all received the same Spirit. God pours out the Spirit on all flesh, it says. Some say the Spirit comes to us in baptism. Others say confirmation is that moment. You may have experienced a different moment where you were convinced of the Spirit's presence within you. No matter when the Spirit arrives, we are all graduates and hold the same degree. You are probably wondering what that degree is exactly. Paul recalls the words of the Old Testament prophets and reminds the crowd that God has said, "In the last days I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." Paul is saying the last days have begun. I realize hearing those words more than 2,000 years later takes a little bit of the punch out of Paul's declaration. It actually reminds me of a friend that I had in college who, whenever I said, "How are you doing?" he would say, "Dying." He had a very dark sense of humor. But for him, every day lived was one of the last. And so the last days is a very relative term. But no matter how many last days we have, Paul is marking this moment as the time when the Spirit of God is poured out on all flesh, saying, it has been poured out. There will now be visions and dreams and prophecy by the young and the old, women and men, even slaves, the most oppressed among them, who no one ever listens to, will be given the same measure of the Spirit. They hold the same degree. The degree we have all been given on Pentecost is a degree of prophecy. We have all graduated into the profession of prophets. Some of us may have gotten our degrees a long time ago and have forgotten what was taught in Being a Prophet 101. So let's look at what it means to be a prophet. Many languages translate the English word prophet from something that means a foreseer, someone who foresees the future. In the Hebrew meaning, it has more of a meaning like a messenger or a microphone. someone who projects the message of God. The Old Testament says the prophets are a person of God, a messenger of God, a noticer or a watcher for the people. In the New Testament Greek, those words translate to something like to speak in front of or in place of. So the scriptural understanding of the role of a prophet is to speak in the place of God. Prophets carry a message from God. They are given the task to watch the world around them on behalf of the people. A prophet is someone who has a connection with God, who understands what God wants for the world, and gives that message to people. This is a little bit different than how we normally think of prophets. We tend to think of them more like fortune tellers, people who can predict the future. However, there is a very important distinction to make between someone who predicts things and someone who sees things. Here's an example to help us understand. If we are in a raft heading down a river, and I notice that the water is flowing a bit faster than before, I might tell everyone in the raft, "Looks like the river is flowing a bit faster. Maybe there's a waterfall up ahead." Now everyone might think that I'm crazy and don't know what I'm talking about and ignore me. But maybe a few yards up there is a sign on the bank that says, "Waterfall ahead." If I point that out, hopefully a few more people will believe me. But let's pretend that the majority of the group still does not believe the danger is real and we stay on our course. If we then come to a waterfall, it does not mean I predicted the future like a fortune teller. It means that I was paying attention to our present surroundings, that I noticed the warning signs of the potential danger ahead. The fact that the warning sign came true might make it look like I have a special ability. But in reality, anyone who was paying attention would have seen the same thing. The prophets of the Bible do not predict the future. They live with a watchful eye and notice the disconnects between what God wants for our world and the path that we're heading on. Moses was introduced to a loving God who yearned for equality. Moses then saw people in slavery and knew that was not what God wanted to happen. Once Moses identified this disconnect, he went to the people to tell them, "God wants you to be free." The people didn't believe him, and so God and Moses got to working on a plan to free the people and to make God's vision a reality, to mend the disconnect. Prophets pay attention to the present, and when things don't line up with God's will, they set out to alert people to the disconnect. The way prophets do this varies. Hosea used his life choices, especially his marriage, to be a metaphor about the disconnect that he saw. Remember, he's the one who married a sex worker, and every time she went back to that old life and then came back to him, he forgave her, showing how Israel kept going back to their old gods, but that the one God would forgive them when they came back. Miriam used song to proclaim God's message and align the people with God's will. Deborah played out her prophecy professionally, taking on the job of a judge to help guide the people down God's path. The two major ways prophets alert the world to a disconnect is with words and actions. Nathan is a good example of a prophet who used words. When King David killed Uriah to get to Bathsheba, Nathan came to the king to tell him a story about a rich man stealing from a poor man. David was appalled at the actions of this rich man, to which Nathan revealed the story was actually about David stealing Bathsheba from Uriah. David saw the disconnect and repented. Ezekiel is my favorite prophet, who used actions to alert the world to a disconnect. He built a little replica of Jerusalem on a brick with siege walls and battering rams and camps all around it. And then he laid in the middle of the city on his left side for 390 days. One day for every year, Israel would be uncomfortable under the rule of another nation if they did not change their ways. Then he laid on his right side for 40 days to signify every day Judah would be under the rule of another nation. One would think it would be hard to ignore the message of someone in the middle of the public eye on the ground for his cause. But many thought this was not the right way to get a message across and demeaned Ezekiel's actions. The way a prophet gets God's message across is as varied as there are prophets, but the thing they hold the same is that they are witnesses to the present path that is not heading in the direction God wishes us to go. They are witnesses to the disconnect. They all find a way to alert people and say, "Hey, I know what God wants for us. And I see the path that we're heading on, and this is not the direction that God wants us to go. We need to make a course correction if we're going to build a world that God wants." Does everyone listen to a prophet? Not normally. But prophets are relentless in their critique of the things that are not working. If one method of prophecy doesn't get the message across, they find another way to reach the people. And eventually, enough people see the disconnect and they find a way to repent and correct their course. When Pentecost happened, we all received a degree in prophecy. We received the Spirit, the connection to God needed to sense these disconnects. And we were entrusted with the task to speak God's message to the whole world. Good news is, no one's a perfect prophet upon graduation. No one is a great doctor when they graduate, or a great artist just because a degree lands in their hand. All that degree does is say, "You know enough to get to work." Unfortunately, many of us prophets have not clocked in to work in a while, and we have let our degrees collect dust. The messages that we were created and commissioned to tell are not being told. Pentecost is our time to remember, to witness to the disconnects in our world. We have been given a specific language, a specific message that we alone can tell. We can all think of at least one disconnect, a direction that humanity is heading that is not the direction God wants us to be going. Those disconnects ring inside us as disgust, as anger, as dread. The Spirit yells from inside of us, giving us visions of a better world. We dream dreams of a day when the disconnect is set right. We cannot let these visions and dreams die inside us. They are the prophecies, the messages that God has tasked us to give to the world. We will each use different tactics to get the message into the world. Some of us, the message will be told with words as we teach our children to think in a different way. Words that remind family and friends that jokes that hurt are not funny. We may use words of poetry or song to inspire hard hearts to listen closer to God's will. Our words may not even be heard by many, possibly only one senator or one police chief. Our way may be with words that highlight the disconnect between what God wants for us and the direction our world is heading. For some of us, God's message will be told by our actions. The friends we choose, the places we spend our money, the people we vote for. We may choose to act by laying face down at the Capitol building with hundreds of other prophets. We may never say a word, and yet the disconnect becomes clear when people see how we make our decisions and the way we choose to live our lives. The prophet's reality, unfortunately, is that the world may not listen to what is obviously happening around us. There is a force that all prophets work against. We can call it fear or a lack of confidence or the devil, but that force works to convince us that we are helpless to right the course of our world. Every time someone does not listen, every time an attempt is made and fails to inspire change, our willingness to continue working as prophets falters. This force is what told Jonah to run the other way, away from his prophetic message. But the story of Jonah tells us that the spirit is stronger than this opposing force, that God's message will find a way into the world, that what God needs someone to know will find a way, that one may want to run in the other direction to hide, and yet still a prophet will end up in the exact place where God can use their voice to shout out with every ounce of God's distress, "You've got him down. Let him breathe at least." Pentecost is the day all flesh, young and old, men and women, especially the oppressed, were tasked with carrying the message of God into the world. We have been uniquely calibrated to sense the disconnects between what God wants for us and the direction we are heading. We are not helpless. We are the help. That help will manifest in any number of ways, but it comes from the Spirit's unrest within us. We cannot let the forces of fear and self-doubt convince us to run from the messages we have been given to proclaim. Imagine if every one of us, made in God's image, gifted with God's Spirit, speak the truth of the disconnects we witness in our world and listen to one another's messages. Can you see that vision? Can you dream that dream? Will you proclaim that prophecy? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.